They're just making sure you're awake this morning. Good morning, everybody. I think we were just making sure you're awake with the sound. Is that all right? They just want to make sure you're awake and alert. So, and good morning to everyone who's online. If you're watching online, there's still time to get here in person. We have heat in here. It's warm and it's nice, right? So we're thankful that we have heat here. So I wanted to give everybody some announcements this morning. Pastor Sam had his 30th birthday yesterday. So happy birthday to Pastor Sam. Our Robbie's Trunk Show, they had a clothing sale up in the gathering room last week, and they raised $1,200 for our children's ministry, which is really exciting. So we're thankful for that. You'll notice we have a special bulletin this morning. So in your bulletin, you'll notice that the cover was given to the glory of God and in loving memory of Charlie Nell and Robert Johnson by their family. And I hope you noticed that there was a bake sale when you came in. And I hope that early service saved some baked goods for you, because after early service, they swamped that bake sale. So I hope you all got something. But after the service, go buy more stuff, okay? Because you can buy things from the United Methodist Women and act like you made it on Thanksgiving. Isn't that great? It's a win-win. You're helping missions, and it looks like you made something. There's several ways that you can help with Thanksgiving. You can donate money for the cakes that we sponsor at the venue for the community Thanksgiving. You can also volunteer at the venue. So this is for the whole community, comes and eats at the venue on Thanksgiving. Our youth and kids and families will be working on Wednesday from 10 to 12 to set up for that event. And then also our church, our mission team, will be going at 1 o'clock to cut the cakes that y'all donated. So it's great. December 4th is our children's Christmas musical at 3 o'clock. That's going to be awesome as always. December 22nd is Christmas in Gadsden. It's going to be a Thursday night at 5:30 here in the sanctuary. And they're going to have cookies and hot chocolate out in the hallway. And then we're going to just sing tons of Christmas carols in here. It's going to be awesome, isn't it, JT? It's going to be great. So we encourage you all to invite some friends that don't come to our church to be here. I just have to tell you right too, my friend Anderson Roberts is here back from college, so I'm so happy he's here. Yeah. So make sure you say hi to him. And he's going to yell at me for saying that, but go say hi to him after service. Our Wednesday night Bible study classes are amazing, and I'm always telling you to go to them. But don't go to them this week, because we're not going to be here. We'll be getting ready for Thanksgiving. And again, go to the bake sale, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving God, we are so thankful to be here worshiping together this morning. We pray that you will calm our hearts and our minds and help us focus on you. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
as we worship together this morning, I'd like you to stand together as we sing hymn number 131. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessings.
Please remain standing and join us in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to all of you who are worshiping with us by live stream. Hello. Say hello to, I want to remind you, if you're worshiping by live stream, say hello to us and tell us where you're worshiping together from. I think the farthest this morning was Wisconsin. So if you're farther away than that, maybe you'll win the prize. Maybe we'll mail you a cupcake from our bake sale today as a prize. Take a moment and fill out the attendance registration pads, if you will. Pass it along the aisle so that others can do the same. This helps us keep our records up to date if you have a new address or an email address or a new phone number. And also, it might help you know who is worshiping with you. As it comes down the row, you'll get to see who that is. It helps us stay connected. And if you're worshiping online with us, download our church app or go to our website, and that way you'll know all this great stuff that's going on. Speaking of great stuff that's going on, we are in the beginning of our generosity campaign. It's Generosity 2023. It's going to take me a while, Pastor Andy, to get used to saying 2023. I don't know. But our theme this year is strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. And our graphic, I think, is just amazing. It's got the tree of life. It's got butterflies. You know how I'm about butterflies? You see my butterflies on my stole today? Yeah. Because we want to be a butterfly-friendly church, which means we have to be a caterpillar-friendly church, right? And it takes everybody's help to do this. You're going to be getting this in the mail this week, okay? Prayerfully consider what you're going to do to help your church in 2023. And you say, oh, well, why do I have to fill out a card? Well, you know, if you ever worked on a finance committee, you ever tried to plan a budget without knowing what's going to come in? So we need everybody's help. And you are going to benefit spiritually from making your commitment to God to let generosity be part of your spiritual discipline for 2023. So thank you in advance for that. Let's pray for our tithes and gifts right now. Lord, we thank you for being such a generous and blessing God. The horn of plenty that's on our altar table today reminds us of the blessings which just overflow to us. The season of Thanksgiving is every season, every day. So part of our response to your goodness to us is to be your servants and to serve not only with our time and our talents, but also with our tithes and offerings. So God, take what we give now and bless it to use in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. be seated. We come to our prayer time now, and I want to tell you what happened to me as we were standing out in the hallway looking at the baked goods from the UMW bake sale, that Cherie grabbed me and said, I've got a praise report. So look, when we come to prayer requests, I love to hear your praise reports and answers to prayer too. And so let me know about that. Jot it down or grab my sleeve and say, hey, I've got a praise report. I've got an answer to prayer. Also, let us know your prayer requests. We've got cards in the back of the pew. You can jot it down, jot a note. You can email it. You can go on the church website. You can comment on our Facebook link. But we want to lift your prayer needs up. And we have a prayer team that meets every Wednesday and prays for them. So we do want to consider those in prayer. So will you join me now as we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, our gracious, kind, and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to praise your name today and to worship together. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a beautiful place to do that and a nice warm building today. But we know, Lord, that you hear our prayers and our praise no matter where we are, and whether it's a hospital bed or a nursing home, or whether it's hidden away in a place because there's no freedom to worship. God, you hear the deepest cries of our heart, and part of those deep cries are just tremendous gratitude, Lord. We have so much for which to be thankful. And God, we also have so many needs that we have, not only for ourselves, but for those that we care deeply about. We pray, Lord, just for ourselves, for our friends, but also for those around our country and those around the world who are grieving, for those who are suffering loss and those who have experienced deep tragedy, for those who have been through a traumatic experience and experience the pain of loss and terrorism, for those who are involved in a war and in all of the things that go along with that, and for those who are just worried, not just about today, but about the future for our children and our grandchildren. We lift all those concerns up to you today, knowing how much you love us and knowing that you know what it's like, Lord, that you are a God who is sympathetic with all of our needs. So teach us to pray the prayer today that you taught your disciples when you said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Miss Catherine's going to be taking our children to children's church now, and she'll be down here to my left and to your right. The rest of us are going to be singing our hymn of preparation number 157, Jesus Shall Reign. Will you stand as you're able and sing with me, number 157?
Thank you.
Our scripture today is Luke chapter 23, the gospel lesson for Christ the King Sunday, Luke 23 verses 33 through 43. And I invite you to follow along on the screen or follow me along, follow along with me on your Bibles or your Bible apps, Luke 23. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with criminals on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there, deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence and of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up in church, when you've been in church all your life, you kind of have a perspective on hymns that you sing, and you think about what you thought about those hymns when you were a kid, and then maybe when you were a teenager, and then as a grown-up. And we always used to sing this hymn, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Y'all sung that one before? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And as a kid, it's funny. I used to look around and see. I thought my preacher was so old that he probably rode horseback with John Wesley. And then I look around and I thought, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" You know, I was convinced that some of them were so old that they probably were there 2,000 years ago. You know, to me as a kid, that's the way it seemed, you know. And then as a teenager, I thought, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And then I realized that was 2,000 years ago, and I thought, that's just crazy. Of course none of it. That's a dumb song. Nobody was there 2,000 years ago. And then as an adult, I thought, you know what? We were all there. We were all there. But then as a preacher, I got to study, and I thought, I want to know really who was in the crowd that day. They're watching Jesus as he was dying on the cross. Who was in the crowd? Well, there was Jesus, and this is Christ the King Sunday. It's a Sunday that we celebrate the pinnacle of Jesus's life, and it's the week before Advent. You know, we follow the Christian year in the United Methodist Church, which means that we don't just celebrate Easter and Christmas. We follow all of Jesus's life and all of his ministry and all of his teachings, and we go on a cycle, year A, B, and C, and we try to cover all of that. The beginning of the Christian year is Advent, and that's when we start talking about John the Baptist and preparing the way and the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel and all of that stuff leading up to Christmas, right? And then, but at the end of the previous year, at the end of this Christian year, we get to the cross. And we get to the declaration. That's why our altar cloths are white today, to remind us that this is Christ the King Sunday. Because the pinnacle of everything happened on the cross. When Jesus was lifted up, he was King of Kings. So what can we say about Christ the King? Listen to how Paul describes Jesus in Colossians chapter 1. And this is my favorite description of Christ the King. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. He, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things invisible and visible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or power. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he might have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. That is the description of Christ the King. But this is a different kind of king. This is a different kind of king that we celebrate, because we get a hint of that in verse 20 in Colossians 1 that I just read, which says, listen to it again. Through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Now think about that. Making peace through the blood of his cross? That doesn't sound like an ordinary king. I mean, an ordinary king is supposed to be powerful enough to keep himself from being executed in the first place, right? An ordinary king is supposed to be, in control, be the one in charge, be the one that saves us from our troubles. A king is supposed to defeat all the enemies, just march with his mighty army and rule supreme over everybody. And that's kind of what people expected from the long-awaited Messiah. When Jesus rode into town on Palm Sunday and everybody said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Well, Hosanna means save us now. It means come on in, Jesus. Get rid of this Roman occupation. Sit on the throne in Jerusalem and take all of our problems away. But this is a different kind of king. That's what Jesus tried to explain to Pontius Pilate. My kingdom's not of this world. I've got a different kind of kingdom. You see, instead of a golden and jeweled crown, Jesus was given what? A crown of thorns, right? Instead of a royal banner with his crest on there, he was given a crude wooden sign nailed on the cross above him that said, "This is the King of the Jews." Instead of leading soldiers into battle, he was led by soldiers to a place called Golgotha, the hill of the skull. And instead of sitting on a royal throne, he was given a cross to be hung on. Instead of being surrounded by the knights of the round table or something like that, he had a criminal on each side of him, a thief on each side. And that is the beautiful paradox of Christ the King Sunday. Is that what seems to all of the world like the most horrible, terrible defeat ever was the most beautiful, ultimate victory ever, because by dying his cruel death on the cross, Jesus triumphed. By being hated and despised, he triumphed by triumphing over hate with love. By resurrecting from the dead, he defeated the very last enemy, which is even death. So we say amen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus' crucifixion, even though it's foolishness to some and it's a stumbling block to others, is exactly what makes Christ the King. So, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, the king was there, the King of Glory. But there were some other folks there too. And that's why I'm calling the message today, well, Watchers, Mockers, Criminals, and the King. Well, I've talked about the king, so let's talk about the watchers. Who was watching in the crowd that day? All sorts of people, really. There would have been a crowd of people just curious. They may have even been compelled by the soldiers to be there, because it's a public execution. It was meant to display the power of Rome. It was meant to tell everybody, this is what happens to you when you dare to defy the Roman Empire. So they might have been compelled to be there. Some were curious. Some were his followers, okay, including maybe his disciples watching from a distance, but some were his followers. Luke tells us there was a large number of women that were his followers too. And I'll just say this about the women who were there. Women were always the first to be there and the last to go. They were the strong ones. His mother was there. John standing by her side. We know that because he said from the cross to John, "Take care of my mama, John. Take care of my mama." We know that two other Marys were there, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene, according to John 19. We know that probably his disciples were there watching from a distance. Luke just calls it a great multitude. A lot of people watching. And there were, of course, Roman soldiers that were there. There was at least one centurion there, because you remember the story where after Jesus died, the centurion said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So we know that they were there. We know that the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders were there. And we know that there were the soldiers that were gambling over Jesus' clothes, the only possession he had left. So all different kinds of watchers. And then there was another category. I call them mockers, because there were some that weren't just passively watching. They were actively mocking Jesus and taunting him. Some of them were the soldiers, of course. They were saying, "Hey, you know, you're supposed to be king and everything, so why don't you prove us that you're king and just come down from there and save yourself." And then there were the Jewish leaders that were, they were close enough to Jesus for Jesus to hear them, but they didn't want to get Dick too close. They might get a drop of blood on themselves. But they were saying, "Oh, you're supposed to be the chosen one. You're supposed to be the Holy One of God. Well, why don't you prove it? Now's the time to prove it." And then the final one that was mocking to Jesus was the one that was, one of the criminals that was on a cross next to him said, "Hey, man, get us down from here. You're supposed to be powerful. You're supposed to be king. Save yourself, but save us too. Get us off of here. Get us away from this torture." So the mocking was basically asking Jesus to prove himself by showing off his power and saving himself. See, that's the great irony of the cross, is that these mockers, in taunting Jesus, were telling the world who he actually was. He was the Messiah of God. He was the chosen one. He was the King of the Jews. And the mocking just highlights the great irony that by not saving himself, Jesus saved us all. So, we have the watchers, we have the mockers, and then we have the criminals. I already mentioned one of them. One of the criminals was mocking Jesus, and it said he was constantly kept on blaspheming Jesus. And the blasphemy was this, that he was telling Jesus what to do. You know, you don't tell the king what to do, do you? You know, you don't tell the King of Kings what to do. But the other criminal, let's take a moment and think about him. He's one of the most compelling characters in the whole Bible. Because there he is hanging on the cross by Jesus. He knows that he is just as guilty as homemade sin. He doesn't try to blame everybody else. He doesn't try to say, "I was framed. I'm innocent." He doesn't say anything like that. As a matter of fact, he tells the other guy, "Why don't you shut up? Because, you know, we're getting just what we deserve." But this guy, he knew that there was something different about Jesus. He said, this man has done nothing wrong. He's innocent. And then he says to Jesus these words, and these words are just etched in my heart. I'll never forget them. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." See, the one person that was there that day that recognized that Jesus was really king was the thief on the cross. Because he said, "When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, just remember me." This guy, the reason I say he's one of the most compelling characters in the whole Bible, has nothing to offer Jesus, does he? He's dying. He's on the cross next to Jesus. He's dying. He's got nothing to offer Jesus. He can't say, Jesus, remember me and I'll be your biggest supporter. You know, remember me and I'll be in church next Sunday, I promise. Remember me and I'll give 10% of my income. Remember me and I'll serve at soup kitchen next Friday. He doesn't have anything to offer. Does he deserve mercy? No. He doesn't. He did the crime. He's doing the time. But you know, the thing about mercy and the thing about grace is none of us ever deserves that. If we deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy and grace, would it? He doesn't deserve it. And listen to what Jesus says to him. Listen to these words again. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So this is the story of watchers, mockers, criminals, and the king. But, you know, like I said, when we were singing, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord, as I've come to really kind of take that message to heart, I realized we're all there, right? We're all there. Jesus didn't just die for the people that were in the crowd that day. He died for you and me and for all those that will come after. We're all there. This is our story. It isn't their story. It's our story. Because stick with me for a minute. We still got a lot of watchers. And by that I mean there's more than just a few that are just content to just stand back and just observe. I know I'm too busy. I just don't want to get involved. I'm going to wait for somebody else to step in and to help. I'm just going to watch. I'm just going to kind of get the lay of the land before I jump on in there. You know, Pastor Sam, I hear that you're talking about your generosity cards and everything, but you know what? I'm just going to kind of hold off. I'm going to see what happens before I do anything. I'm going to let other people support the ministries of this church. Even though I could afford to do so, I'm not going to give financially right now. I just don't want to get involved. Watchers. You know, somebody needs to stand up for justice. Somebody needs to call out those people that are trampling down and oppressing the vulnerable. But I don't have time for that, so I'm just going to stand back. I'll let somebody else be. Because I'm not much of an activist. I'm just going to stand back. Lord, have mercy on us all. Have we not all been watchers before? And they're still mockers. I mean, by that, I mean, there are people that want Jesus to be a different kind of king than who he really is. There are people that want to mock and blaspheme Jesus by trying to tell him what to do. They're not happy that Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Peace. They're not happy that Jesus said, I'm the Lamb that was slain for the redemption of the world. They still want someone to come in and take over. They still have their own agenda for Jesus. Jesus is mocked when people try to use his name for their own advantage. Jesus is mocked when people support something that's been called Christian nationalism, is a mockery of Jesus. Those who deny the deity of Jesus mock the name of Jesus. Those who deny the humanity of Jesus mock the name of Jesus. Those who want mercy for themselves but want to leave out people that they don't like mock the name of Jesus. It's not what he died for, so that we could be the gatekeepers. Those who claim the name of Jesus but live and behave and treat others in such a way that looks exactly opposite of Jesus mock the name of Jesus. And Lord, have mercy on us all, because we've all been there. We've all lived a life that did not reflect the Christ whose name we bear as Christians. Pastor Sam, I can't speak for Pastor Andy, Pastor Sam has not always practiced what he preaches. You know? So Lord, have mercy on us if we're mockers. Christ the King is a beautiful, hopeful Sunday. We have the symbol of hope, the symbol of transition. You see, every Sunday in between seasons, we have a transition Sunday where we use white pyramids. This is the one we use for Holy Communion. This is the one we use for weddings. This is the one we use for Easter. This is the butterfly color. So there's hope, but there's good news in Christ the King Sunday. And you say, well, preacher, you've just been jumping on our toes today. Where's the good news and all of that? Here's the good news. That we could always come and say, just like the thief on the cross, we're guilty as homemade sin. And we've all fallen into the categories of watchers and maybe even mockers and maybe even criminals. But the hope and the good news for all of us, brothers and sisters, is that we still can look at that crucified king and say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it, but remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And will that crucified king give us mercy? Yes. Yes, he will. Will Jesus turn away anyone who comes to him and calls on his name? No. 1,000 times no. Because Christ is King. Christ is King. Let us pray. Lord, if we were in charge, we would make a big mess of things. If we were in charge, we would probably welcome all of our friends and then curse all of our enemies. We would probably, Lord, do anything besides giving our very lives like you did. So we're thankful that you are the King of glory. That even though there are earthly monarchs and governments and all of that, that ultimately there's no one who is king except you. That even though there are preachers and bishops and deacons and all of that, there's only one head of the church, and that's you. And because you died for us, to reconcile us and the world unto yourself, because you did all of that, we can look to you and just say, remember me. So remember me, Lord, today. Remember us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 694. We have a lot to be thankful for. We're going into a week where, I know we're probably going to have an abundance of food, and we're thankful for all that. We're thankful for families. We're thankful for the blessings. Most of all, though, we're thankful that we can say to Jesus, remember me. As we stand together, I want to give you one more reminder. And this has a little bit to do with something that I've always been very thankful for, which is homemade, delicious baked goods. I put myself a note here to remind me, and this is kind of like we used to do at the football games when we were at concession stands. We get the announcer to say, in the closing minutes of the game, all the hamburgers are half price, so get a hamburger on your way out the door. So I'm telling you, here's more good news. Prices have been slashed to half price. So on your way out of the church today, go by and get all of these delicious items from our UMW bake sale. So let's stand together, sing our closing hymn, 694. Come, you thankful people, come. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.